Oh, good evening, peoples. Good
Hello,
evening, good
hello.
evening. I come to you live from our cranberry store tonight.
And I'm in my
So,
house.
yeah, you're in your house like usual. I today ended up having to go into cranberry. To cover a shift, so it is definitely a clerk's kind of a day. That's why I named this episode a clerk's kind of a day, because all day it's been I'm not
I'm
even
not
supposed
supposed
to
to
be
work
here
here.
today. All right, yeah.
Do
So it's
you have the guy walk in and test all the eggs on the floor and
no,
all that fun
I did
stuff?
not have a guy like that, no.
Okay. Someone test all the magic cards, make sure they're all right.
Right. So, why is this not? Why
And
does
I
this not?
apologize for the third host here. He's being very clingy.
Yeah, probably. Hold on. I just want to. I really hope this went to the right streaming channel.
Oh, that's good.
Right.
What's the matter, buddy?
Pretty sure we're good, but
I'm still recovering. I saw Death Clock on Tuesday and I didn't get home until like midnight and I'm like,
oh, dude. So my buddy's girlfriend is like, she's like, text me and she's like, "Hey, are you here?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about?" And she's like, "Oh, I'm at Cradle of Filth, and I thought you'd be here." And I was like, "I didn't know they were even coming to town." So she
Yeah, they were
sends me
both there.
videos. She's sending me videos the entire night about Cradle of Filth playing, and I was like,
Nice.
"This is awesome." So,
And then I was sending you random shit too, like
yeah, you're
the.
like sending me random shit from the Death Clock show. So
Yeah.
yeah, I forgot you were going to that. So that's pretty cool. That's a lot of fun.
Oh, and our mutual buddy Tim, I thought he was going, and I was like, and he didn't come, I guess, or he didn't get the ticket or whatever, but I was
Well,
like,
that's a bummer.
yeah, it was a good time. It awesome show. What was it? My pronunciation of the band is going to be awful. It's Amon Amber.
I'm on a mare, yeah.
Amonver, yeah. And
I'm
they were
on.
fun.
Yeah,
Yeah,
I'm
they were fun. They were definitely the Viking metal scene is loud and proud.
yeah, very much so. So, all right, I'm good. Everything did work out, so.
All right.
Oh, jeez. I don't know what like what new so in con news, which by the way is in 4 weeks, right? 4 weeks?
Is it 4 weeks?
Three weeks. Three
Three weeks.
weeks.
Yeah, we're down a
Holy
week.
shit. So, Dave Wachter is coming. Apparently the email I sent him in July, and then he traveled all through Europe that he missed. He forgot to hit send when he replied to it. He finally realized, "Hey, I didn't hit send." And I was like, "Hey, well, I happen to have a booth open up at this exact moment. So yes, let's do this." So it worked out.
There it is.
Steve Geiger will also be back as well.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
They're both good dudes. We've
Yeah.
had them at the show before. We're glad to have them back.
Well, Dave's a sort of local. He's kind of like me, a transplant local. He's originally from Cleveland, I believe, so don't hate him.
Hey, he
Yep. He
upscaled.
upgraded very much. So I'm not mad about that. But he's a great dude. He actually has he has a new cover out for Moonstar, I think, this week. So make sure you check that out. He's done some killer work, so is Steve. But the guest list is pretty much all up there. The vendor list is up there. We're down to the wire. It's gonna be a good
Yeah.
time.
Right.
So we're cruising, and the floor map should be out Probably Sunday I'll have that out. And also speaking of Sunday, so if you guys are those kind of people that are like, I've never been to Pittsburgh, or I don't like driving into Pittsburgh, or I don't know how to get down there, Justin and I are going to be doing some informational Instagram lives. I think we'll do it on Instagram or Facebook, one of the two. We're going to do a live video though. We're going to do four of them. So we're going to start coming in from 28, so coming in from the northeast. We're going to come down 279, we're going to come in 376, and we're going to come in 279, or 376 and 376 and 376. It's just the two different directions of it. So we'll be coming in from like the Monroeville side, we'll be coming in from Robinson side, from 28 and from 279, which is if you're coming down 79, when you hit Wexford, that's when you cross down. If you live between Wexford and, well, Robinson, you would take 79 and come in on 376. But we'll be answering questions and literally showing you how to get in there on a weekend, so you know what traffic is going to look like. So it
It
should be fun.
shouldn't be bad.
No,
To be fair, it's
it'll be fine.
I think it's actually going to probably be a little bit easier just because during our show there's multiple events going on.
Right. So we're showing you the ways to get around any kind of road closures or the most direct route so that it's the least complicated. Right. Because I will tell you, I wish that someone would have shown me how to do the 28, get off 28, turn left, go over the bridge, and be right there years ago. Like when I first, before I moved here. And that was, holy shit. 19 years ago, like next year I'll be a 20-year Pittsburgher. I wish someone would have taught me that when I was coming down to conventions and stuff before, because that was like, that makes it so much easier than having to go up on Veterans Bridge and then loop around and back down through, like, or the 10th Street bypass. Like, holy crap, is that thing a time saver? Because you don't have to go through all the lights. You don't have to drive through downtown. It's just whoop and boom, you pops you right up at the convention center. And then today they just actually announced that there's plans to build a new 500 room hotel that is connected to the convention center. I don't know how that's going to work considering the Westin already has a skyway to the convention center. But I don't know if that means they're going to rip out part of their own building, or like if they're just going to sacrifice part of that, or if they're going to buy something and eat up a road, really. Because if they buy a part, they have to like get rid of something to build that, and I just don't know where they would do it. I think it's a great idea, don't get me wrong, right? Another big hotel right there.
Especially after this year with all the big events that have happened.
Well, it happens every year, but so.
But no, it like the I think the NFL draft kind of gave Pittsburgh a little bit of a wake up call of you need more hotels in the city a little bit.
No. What the draft did was it made the city wake up and go, stop outpricing stuff. Stop overpricing stuff just because you think more people are coming in. Because what they did was they banked on more people coming in from out of town when really they only had like 200,000 people came in from out of town, which isn't a small amount. Like, yeah, right, it's
That's
not a small
still a
amount.
big influx of
But
people.
when 600,000 people are regional people and come in and don't stay in the hotels and don't do that stuff, and they're the ones who are getting, like, they're either staying at home or they're staying like in the suburbs, because the suburbs didn't crank their hotel rooms to God knows what, then it's different. Or parking at $250, which I thought was interesting. But anyway, we're gonna, like I said, we're gonna talk about, we're gonna show you how to get down there. We'll even show you the rates at the parking garage so that you can see what they
Definitely
are.
have to do that.
Yeah.
That way there's no excuse,
Right.
because we've heard the excuse, like, ever since I've been here. It's too expensive to park. I don't know where to park. And I'm
That's like
like,
really that's the biggest question we always get is where do we park?
yeah.
And I'm like, you know, there's a garage like attached to it, right? Like
And the,
physically there, it's attached.
yeah. And even if you don't want that, there's the parking lot literally right beside the convention center.
Yeah, there's an
Behind
open air one
there's an
by the
open
Heinz Museum,
by the Heinz Museum,
which people don't know that
right
the Heinz
there.
Museum is there because they
Yeah.
don't go down to get anything. It's also part of the Smithsonian, if you guys don't know.
Yeah.
And then there's the cheapest place though, is the Greyhound Garage, like where the bus station is, which is only 2 blocks away. And they're 2 city blocks, so they're very it's a very short walk. It might be, I would say, at most a 10-minute walk, at most. And
Yeah.
that's if you have to wait for the walk signal to cross the road at both intersections. But it'll be super easy. Maybe we'll even show you where one of those are in one of the videos just to show
Yeah.
you. But we have a lot of cool stuff like we want to talk about doing that. And then next week, a week from now, is the last cosplay karaoke before the con. And we're having it at Dave & Buster's at the waterfront at 7 o'clock. The theme is fun and games. So, however you want to take that, if you want to come dress like Mega Man, cool. You want to dress like Carnival Barker? Go for it. You want to dress like Harley Quinn because she's all about fun and games? Go for it. You want to just come in whatever? That's also cool. You don't want to dress up at all? Totally fine. You can still come, but it's
Yeah.
$5 to watch. It's $5 to sing on top of your $5 to watch, and all the money goes to the Heroes Initiative. So
Yes.
it's a blast every time we do this. It's a lot of
And
fun.
the
Jeremiah
winner
and
of
I
the
are,
winners,
yeah.
yeah, the winners
Jeremiah
get
and I will
free
be there
tickets.
emceeing. Sarah Spector is going to be a judge. I have at least somebody else asked about being a judge too. I think Amanda will be there being a judge as well. And then my good friend Joe Bazone will be doing the DJing. We're excited to get down there
Yeah.
and check it out. 'Cause it's Dave and Buster's. It's a lot of fun to be in
Yeah, yeah.
there.
Yeah,
So
it's I kind of take it a little I was taking a little bit of break from all the cosplay karaoke just because I couldn't maneuver my schedule around, but I will show up for this one, so I will be there
damn
too.
right you will. So but yeah, man, it's a lot, and it's gonna be a lot of fun. And man, am I excited to get this thing rolling. Like,
Yeah.
super pumped.
Yeah, we finally got everything down and we
Yeah.
have all the flyers out. We have extra posters. If you guys want a poster, I
Yeah.
mean, that's let us know. We
I have
have
them
plenty
both in
to.
8.5 by 11 and 11 by 17.
I have a bunch at the store as well here at the in the mills, I
Right.
should say, so.
So, okay. Well, guess we can do some comic reviews. Then I will talk about the boys episode from this week.
Yeah, I watched
Cool.
that. Yeah, that my wife
Oh.
accidentally hit the Prime
Yeah.
subscribe for like the free 30-day for Prime, so we caught up on the boards. So
Okay.
yeah, it messed up. Messed up.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So, all right. I can't remember if you did this book or not, but The Second Prince came out, and I wanted to read it and catch up on it.
I don't read Daredevil, so
Okay, well then, this
that
is
would.
the Stephanie Phillips first issue. This was a hell of a fucking good issue, dude. So, in this issue, Daredevil is no longer a lawyer. He's teaching law at Empire State, but he's still doing Daredevil stuff at night. So Lee Garbett is the artist, Frank Martin is the colorist, and Arana Mayer is the letterer, with Lee Garbett as the cover artist. So it's just very interesting that like. In the very first part of this, where he's teaching, he tells the the students that no phones, no laptops, and they're just like, yeah, but you're using a cane to be blind, so you're using something to help yourself, blah, blah, blah. And so he makes a deal with the class of you can have them out, but anytime we do any speak, like if there's a discussion or a lecture, you can't. And he's like, deal? And they're like, deal. It's like, okay, cool. So then one of the other teachers comes in, and that's Sarah Ellison. She teaches the class after on trial advocacy, or no, sorry, professional ethics. So she's the next one in there, which I think she's going to be the new love in this in this story. And some that it cuts to some guys on a there's some of the cops on a train or on a bus train, and someone has stolen the eyes out of someone. Just their eyes. That's it. So they don't know what's going on with that. Then Matt's talking with one of his buddies at a bar. Excuse me. Who got him a job at the university. Jesus. And then Matt beats up some more people as Daredevil, does more Daredevil-y things. Then he goes home, and this person is in his. In his apartment, but he can't smell them. They don't have a heartbeat. Their voice timbre changes the whole time, and he can't get a beat on them. And when they fight, he's so unpredictable that Matt can't know what's going on. Well, anyway, the guy ends up like beating the crap out of him, throwing him out of a window, and he lands on a car. And that's where it ends. I was like, this is almost the same vibe as like the Netflix or Dare or the Disney Plus show. It's got that kind of deal to it. I really like the idea of Matt teaching law school. I think that's just a fun break in his life. I thought the art was fantastic. So, yeah, I am giving this I'm giving this the who's I can see for miles.
On the nose. On
On
the
the
nose.
nose, right? All right. While you do yours, I'm going to. Oh crap! I got the wrong one. Hold on. That's not the right book. I don't know if you're gonna have to talk for a minute while I fix this.
Okay. Well, here, we'll put the we'll do the celebrity death. That the only one that
Sure.
kind of stuck out. Our condolences to the Gibb family. Donald Gibb, better known as Ogre from Revenge of the Nerds, passed away this week. 71. He had throat cancer.
Yeah.
That was a shame because he was very, iconic role, iconic character,
Yeah.
especially for the 80s there. That I think everybody remembers. The and if you don't remember from that,
Nerds. That's how I
and
remember.
if you don't remember from that, he was also in Bloodsport. He played
Really?
Ray Jackson, who was the he was kind of the buddy with Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, that's right. I forgot
Yes.
about that.
Yeah, he played the American who is basically just kind of a mix between a brawler and a pro wrestler pretty much.
Right.
Yeah, those were the two roles that I remember him with, and those are probably the most famous that he was known for. So, our condolences to his family.
For
It's a
sure.
shame. Cancer claims another person. So,
Yeah. All right. Is that better?
yes, there we go. All right, we got Absolute Batman number 20. This one was really interesting. It's basically kind of revealed that Bruce was actually a creation of the Joker. He's reading all the files that Jim Gordon gave him before Jim Gordon committed suicide. And as he's reading the files, it's pointing out that Joe Chill didn't actually kill like his dad, or was set up to take the fall. And this was all in the grand master plan of the Joker. So that's a huge revelation. Again, absolute Batman's just killing it with these twists and turns, and the showing how brilliant this version of Joker is, even more so than like the main counterparts of the normal DC universe. He's confronted by, as you see, the Robins there. As you can see from the one suit, that's from the New 52 there era of when Jim Gordon was Batman and was in that super suit for a short period of time there in the New 52. So that was kind of a nice little throwback there. But yeah, as this is all going on, Croc is looking even more human now. So the pendant that he received from Bruce and Wonder Woman is doing its job in fixing him. Basically, the only thing left of his Croc mutation is he has yellow eyes. But he kind of looks like Luke Cage because he's wearing like the yellow shirt, and he was always bald, but now he's bald with the yellow shirt. He looks like basically Power Man from Marvel. But he was talking to Nygma, and Nygma was letting it like they're Crocker wants everybody to get together and help Bruce out. And of course, Nygma is like, we're still mad at him, right? And Croc's like, I understand. He's like, trust me, I understand. He's like, but this is all not all on him. He's like, there's something deeper and darker that Bruce needs help with. And we're seeing like where everybody is. He's seeing, Two-Face doing his thing, Penguin doing his thing. And Nygma's like, well, you see a little bit of humanity come back into Nygma because he kind of looks like something out of Tron in this, where he basically has his head connected to a bunch of wiring and everything. He's like, at least you look good. He's like, I love the yellow eyes. He's like, they're badass. So a little bit of humor there by Nygma. But no, this is Absolute Batman just keeps killing it every issue. I can't speak enough about it. Here you go. Here's one. I'm gonna say For Whom the Bell Tolls by Metallica. I feel like we're hearing the bells toll for Batman as he's getting railroaded by the Joker and all the forces going against him, because he's still being, he's still being hunted for Jim Gordon's death. Joe Chill does end up dying. The Scarecrow makes him kill himself, and Batman couldn't do anything to help him. But like I said, the story gets more is getting deeper and darker and more intriguing with every issue. Scott Snyder's killing it. If he does not win like Writer of the Year this year, there's something wrong. There's really something wrong. He's just batting it out of the park with this.
So my only question is, and I saw a there was a cover, a variant cover of this where Robin is standing by his giant mech. And all I
Yeah.
thought was, when did they turn Robin into Stripesy? Right? Because it's almost like Stargirl and Stripe, yeah.
Well, I think he was more going for that the suit that Jim Gordon from the New 52 wore when
Yeah,
he
but
was Batman
it was
for the
smaller though. Like
it was it
it was
was
just
but
around him.
you could tell the style though was very reminiscent. Like that's where my mind went when I was reading it.
If that's what it actually looks like in the book, it looks more like his pet Goliath than it does the Jim Gordon suit at all. So,
Yeah. I
but
mean
at least to me.
it's Batman mechs. It's, in this universe too, they exaggerate everything.
Sure.
I'm not gonna question it. Like all the Robins are little snots. So I'm kind of looking forward to this battle between him and the Robins because it hasn't happened yet.
I hope they're like the Power Rangers and they all have to like put their Zords together and like make an even bigger Robin.
If they do
Which,
this,
yeah.
Alex
And
do that.
make a giant Robin, except
Yeah.
it's like
Oh,
they're gonna make a
you
giant
see.
Robin and it's gonna be called Nightwing. It's gonna be
Yeah.
hilarious.
You see a bat cave in this, but it's not Bruce's bat cave. It's Joker's bat cave. And Joker has all the souvenirs too, like Batman in traditional Batman's cave. Only it's they're different souvenirs.
Interesting.
And I'm like, wow. It's like Scott Snyder is literally reinventing the entire Bat universe, and I'm here for it. I'm for it,
What was your song for this again?
For Whom the Bell
Oh, that's
Tolls
right.
by Metallica. Yeah.
My next book is from Rob Gilroy and Sam Lotfy from Ignition Press, and it's Innards number one. I'll be honest, I bought it purely because it was called Innards. I didn't even flip through it. I just went, this sounds hilarious. Let's go.
I like the fetus in the blue crystal. That's interesting.
Yeah, so it starts out with you find out that the world basically sort of blew itself up. It nuked itself pretty well and it destroyed all of the oil in the world and turned it into this basically like glass. The one main character, he lives on the top side. And him and his girlfriend wife find out they're having a baby girl, so he's like, crap, now I need to get a job that pays better. So he becomes what they call a diver. So the divers are the guys that are going down to mine this new stuff called Luciferium. Lucifium. Lucifium? Lucifium. Which is basically the glass that the oil turned into, so that they have some kind of fuel to keep the world moving. But to get down there, they have to basically be teleported down these pipes. And the kid's like kind of freaking out, like, is this even safe? And this girl's like, yeah, it's half-ass science, but it's shit can get weird. And he goes, define weird. She goes, see this mole? He goes, yeah. He goes, it used to be on my ass.
Wow.
So they get down there, and he's like, oh my God, I can't believe this worked. The one dude throws up. And they start their mining job. And while they're there, the new guy almost falls off a cliff. And they hit a very large thing of Lucifium. When they're all done, or then he calls his wife and she's like, oh, I got the payment. Check out this super cute farting unicorn onesie I found for our kid. And he's just like, oh God, I don't know if I can do this. So they have their own bar down there and they drink to the guy that they lost to bring the new guy in. And the one guy, the oldest guy on the crew, goes down and he actually found the guy that they lost, but he's behind all of the glass, the black glass. So it's definitely an interesting story. I had to kind of like keep I kept thinking, is this supposed to be funny or is it supposed to be serious or somewhere in between? Because the art lends it to a little more of comedy, but it's really not that much. It's very cool though. Like it definitely is sci-fi that I'm digging. I'm probably gonna at least get the second issue and see how it goes. I've really liked a lot of Ignition Press's stuff. So I'm curious to see where it goes and how this whole story unfolds. So we're gonna check it out. My piece for this one is Mudvayne's Dig. Again, right on the
Nice.
nose.
Right
Right
on the
on the nose.
nose, yeah. All right. We haven't done Spawn in a while, but it's getting up there to another was it another
Milestone.
yeah, there we go. Thank you. Milestone, yeah. 375. Now the previous issue, apparently Mel Bolger has come back, and he's a dinosaur now or a lizard of some sort. Like the design is very lizard-like, and it's Spawn and the Curse battling him, and they're trying to like, I guess Mel Bolger's trying to make Spawn give him his power. Even though Spawn's been having issues with his powers for a while now, he's basically almost just an undead human at this point with very little power. But this issue is a lot of battling, like classic Spawn versus Mal Bolgia, with Curse thrown in. Curse does something really interesting though, because he basically sacrifices himself to save Spawn and then infuses Spawn with some of his old power. So Spawn's actually getting back his power again, like similar to like early Spawn, where his power is inf like I don't want to say infinite. It's powerful but finite because they're starting the clock again. Like they've been doing the clock again, but it used to be down to zero. And by the end of the book, it's now up to like 5000, blah, blah, blah. I forget exactly what was there, but he's gotten his power back a little bit and he started beating the ever loving. Like he starts draining Malbolgia of his power. So it's actually kind of the return thing. And they're getting. The Curse is battling Malbolgia, and they're both getting smaller and smaller. Like, because Malbolgia is, of course, huge. He's like humongous. But towards the end of this, it's like Spawn getting like everything back. Like we're getting classic Spawn back, which I'm always down for. Again, fun. The art is always good. Todd at his best. I never want to see him falter in his art.
Right.
Yeah, this was fun. I haven't like kept up with Spawn lately, but I do check in for every milestone that seems to be occurring here. I wonder what they'll do for issue 400 because I don't think they're going to stop.
Who did the cover of this book? Do you know?
I know Todd did a cover.
Well, very specifically, the one I'm looking at right now.
I think that's Todd.
Is it? I don't know. It doesn't look quite right.
It might not be. It's usually Todd does a variant, And then he'll get some special guests. There weren't that many variants for this, which is kind of surprised me. Usually every milestone he gets like a ton of people to do variants. It's just not this time around. I know there's a black and white variant. I think there's another variant too we didn't get in
It's
the store.
Harvey Talib, Talibio,
Okay.
Talibe, Talibeo,
It's
and
very, it's
he's the only
very,
one.
it's very
It he did the
close to
black and
Todd.
white one too. Yeah,
Yeah, it's very close to Todd. Like it's, there's,
it's
it's,
definitely old school Todd. Yeah,
yeah. That's why I almost said this was more
this
Todd.
reminds me of like Todd with a mix of like Daniel Warren Johnson.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, especially the buildings. That's the very
Yep.
Daniel Warren Johnson, but Spawn himself looked very much like Todd. So, but yeah, it, I enjoyed this. Let's go with some Manson. Long, hard road out of hell. How about
Yeah.
that?
There you go. So, all right, we both did this next book because we're both big Masters fans.
Yeah.
Which, oh yeah, by the way, 2 weeks from now will be at regular time, the Thursday before the show, and we're gonna have the guys from Comicsburg on,
Yeah.
because we got tickets for Masters of the Universe for Wednesday, so that we could do the show at regular time on Thursday. And you know, it makes it easy to take Wednesday off and just go to a movie with your friends, chill out. Maybe we'll grab dinner beforehand, and then Thursday we're gonna load the van and stuff, and then be ready for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yes.
And Monday for unloading the van. But anyway, so this is by Tim Seeley. This is Riley Brown's first issue. The art is fan-freaking-tastic in this book, in my opinion.
I love this Skeletor style. Like, I love his armor set.
With the armor?
Yes. Yeah. I there better be an action figure of this because now I have to get
I'm really hoping so too. But that's what happens when he uses the Sword of Flaws. That's his He-Man version, right?
Yeah.
So, like, it starts out where Cringer is lost, and if you read the last issue before this, he actually got, like, Battle Cat got hurt by the Sword of Flaws. So King Randor decides, oh, Marlena, you're basically just being too soft on him. We're gonna need to be hard on him. So, in his dress and tights as a king is yelling at his son in the throne room about having to be more of a hard ass like He-Man, and I'm like, at least your son's wearing like a loincloth, come on, he's at least got like pants sort of. Then there's this gorgeous, gorgeously drawn Teela who's basically like, consider me your blacksmith, my liege, because he talks about like hammering him into place.
Yeah.
And molding him like metal. And
They
then,
still don't know who He-Man is, which is,
right.
at this point, should we just give up on that trope?
Right.
Honestly.
Right. I mean, he's got to figure it out sometime, but so then it goes to Orko is hanging out with Man at Arms, and they have Triclops in the brig, and Man at Arms is basically like dumbing down Triclops's vision thing so that he can't use it as weapons. While Adam and Teela are outside training, and she basically is like egging him on by being like, do it for Cringer. You do it for Cringer, right? Blah blah blah. Like
Yeah.
being a real jerk about it. But it and he's just going at him or going at her. And Triclops all of a sudden is like, wait a minute. And he like overlaps a replay of how He-Man moves and realizes that Adam is He-Man. So he's like sitting in the brig just laughing his ass off, like, I can't believe we were that dumb, blah blah blah. Like,
Yeah,
it's really, really funny.
and it's funny that Triclops of all villains to figure it out.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, really, Triclops is the one? Come
Well,
on, people.
I guess the only worse ones would be like some of the, even the minor ones, like if Stinkor found out, or some, like somebody that's so like randomly doesn't matter as far as the villain line goes. So I guess this is like
Like
not the
Blade.
worst villain to find out.
Yeah.
But yeah, he it was kind of
Yeah.
interesting with that. While all that is going on, there's the Battle of the Villains, where was it? Evil Lyn and Skeletor are fighting against Beastman and Merman.
Superman.
And like, you know, that was bound to happen because, you know, Skeletor treated all his minions like garbage. So of course they're going to fight back when he comes back from hell, you know, and they're going to be like, yeah, we don't want you to be in charge anymore. We have our own initiatives, blah, blah, blah. And so they teamed up and they've been battling back and forth, like basically kind of like mobsters, where they're like, well, you haven't been the Dawn forever. So they split up all their criminal mischief in between themselves.
You know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of the original Old Man Logan story, right? Where the US gets divided up among all the villains, and then
Yes.
but the Red Skull is actually overseeing everything,
Yeah.
right? Like that's kind of how it felt.
Yeah.
And he's just now he's trying to put that kingdom back together.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I thought was a very good, and it was a very good fight too.
Oh
Um,
yeah, yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, where they you think they had him dead to rights because they hit like between Merman's powers of like
The giant Kraken
the Kraken and then Beastman
with the big
helping
snake.
because he
Yeah,
has
they ate
control
them.
of all creatures. And Skeletor just kind of chuckles and just uses the Sword of Flaws and just slices the Kraken in half. And when he did that, I guess Merman and Beastman were both psychically linked to the Kraken. So they're both sitting there with headaches, going, oh. They're laying on the ground. And he's like, and Skeletor's like, that was not the smartest decision to psychically link yourself with your minions.
While that's going on, Adam sneaks out of the castle because Teela's all on his ass about everything. So he has Orko hide in his bed with a wig on to fool her, which blows my mind that that worked. But whatever. It's film.
It's
It's
the 80s
filmation.
trope.
It's filmation. It's fine. So he's going to Castle Grayskull to visit Cringer, who's in a stasis. So he doesn't degrade any further because of the sort of flaws. So Adam like turns into He-Man. He-Man goes in the building, hangs out with the sorceress. They kind of give you a little bit of a recap story if this is where you're picking it up, of Hero originally built the sword of flaws first, and then built the sword of power to power someone to protect the sword of flaws from getting in the hands of King Hiss. And King Hiss, it ends up being like kicked into like a vortex at some point to not be able to get to the Sword of Flaws because he was the first one to wield it. So Adam or He-Man's all like, being like, how did I end up doing this to Cringer? He's my best friend, blah, blah, blah. I don't know if this was what I should have done. Should I have let, Man-at-Arms die? The sorceress is like, no, you definitely shouldn't have done that. So he comes back to the palace, talks to Man-at-Arms. Man-at-Arms at this point is like, no, dude, like you're gonna be fine. Like you will be a great king because you wield the weapon that is He-Man. You are the soldier, and they're yelling. He's yelling at him so loud that Orko can hear him in Adam's room and wakes up. It, with this stupid wig on, and it's like, well, at least he's not yelling at me, which I thought was pretty funny.
Right.
And then the then Cobra Khan, Lasher, and Rattler are in Snake Mountain, and they you find out that King, what's his name?
Yes.
King
What's
Hiss is back. And he wants that sword of flaws, and he's
Yeah.
going to try to take it. And the coolest part about that panel, in my opinion, is the like his kind of sorceress person in the background, because she looks awesome. Like she looks terrifying.
Yeah.
So I'm pretty excited to check the rest of this out. I really liked it. I think the art's absolutely fantastic. I'm so glad I had Riley draw me that Despera when he was at the store a couple weeks ago. So, and I can't wait for that to actually happen in the book to see Despera somewhere.
Nice.
But that'll probably be.
Well, we also forgot that the snake people now are officially in Snake Mountain because Skeletor doesn't give a crap about it now.
Yeah.
Like
Yeah, he's like, I don't need it, whatever. So, oh man, I had a really good song for this earlier, and I can't remember what it was. So my song for this, and we didn't know that each other had read this, so we probably each have our own songs for it. But mine is Velvet Revolver Slither.
I didn't think of that one.
What was yours if you were going to be the one giving the rating?
Had it in my head, and now I lost it. We'll just go with yours. I'm drawing a blank.
I mean, it was a pretty good choice, let's be fair.
That's a solid one, actually. I love that. I was one of my favorite concerts too, is seeing them live and him doing Slither and him moving his hips like a damn snake too. Scott Weiland.
Yeah. I never saw Velvet Revolver, and I never got to see Stone Temple Pilots with Scott Weiland either. I never got to see solo career either, but he is one of my favorite 90s and 2000 singers. So, and songwriters. He was a great singer. So,
It's
all
true.
right. So now you guys need to put your spoiler headphones on and
I
talk
think
about it for
everybody spoiled it anyway on like you there was
dude
no avoiding the spoilers in
dude
this.
that oh my God, like this morning I got, or last night I was on social media and I saw spoilers and I'm like, what? No. And I was like, just put the phone down. I saw two spoilers and I'm like, phone goes down. I'm gonna watch this because I'm watching it in the morning, so I continued watching. By the way, if you guys have Paramount and you're into Twin Peaks, the reboot Twin Peaks season is free on Paramount right now. I have like four episodes left. It's very good, but it's kind of long. Like it's really like two seasons put together. So, but it's very good and very David Finch. So anyway, boys. So this is episode seven,
Seven.
right?
One
We
more
have what?
episode to go.
Just one? One more? Okay.
One.
So
Maybe last. It is concluding,
this
so we will
episode
see.
was crazy good. So they justified Gen V in it. 'Cause they like the two that survived from Gen V show up in there. They're trying to give Kimiko the powers of Soldier Boy by nuking her, basically. We don't know if it worked, but Sage thinks it worked. We won't know till next week.
Sage had a bit of a crisis. Like there was a lot of talk about
Crisis.
how that she couldn't calculate love.
It was definitely a crisis of faith for sure.
Which, you know, again, this is kind of the the writers, I don't know how they predicted stuff from last year that's happening currently now in current events of the ridiculousness of the man wanting to be God. Like,
Oh
and
no, that's been that way for like that's been kind of a sort of known thing to happen for a
But
while.
the way it's like that it's been presented though is almost like what we hear about the news on the daily nowadays, and it's
Oh yeah,
almost
But I'm just saying, like, it's been that way for a while, though. It's
Yeah,
just,
yeah.
you know, so.
But you know, the commercial that they showed where Jesus handed him in crown of thorns, and I'm like,
Yeah.
wow. I was like, oh, I was like, the little bit of Catholic that's in me was like cringing to the hilt. I was like, oh God. I'm like, oh, I was like, I want to stab myself in the eye for seeing that. That was hard to take. And I'm not, like I said, you and me are recovering Catholics. And I have a lot of issues with religion, but I never, never blasphemed like this.
Yeah.
This is a step beyond of where I, you know, I will shit on religion all day, but never, like, I believe in God, but I would never do some of this crap.
Yeah, this that was
This is,
a little crazy conversion therapy, we'll call it.
yeah, especially with the scene with what's the preacher dude? Brother
Oh, Father.
Oh Father, okay. And him like locking those poor people in the room and killing them because like only six of the 30 people really
Actually
thought
converted,
that
yeah.
Homeland was God. And I'm like, oh,
Yeah.
ooh,
Yeah.
ooh,
I thought it was
ooh.
interesting they had all the psychics tell them like who
Oh
was legit. I was
yeah.
like, what? Like, just crazy, man. Like, but so that all happens.
The thing with Huey and Butcher being caught and
Yeah,
the
Butcher,
psychic.
yeah, they get caught. Mother's Milk and Starlight are kind of doing some recon in the same building, and they end up climbing up in the vents while the cat girl from the wannabe
The
seven, like,
teenage
yeah, like the teenage
kicks.
seven,
The kicks. Were
yeah,
they
the Kicks,
kicks?
yeah.
Yeah.
Her and the other dude who actually was on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
The
like
dog guy.
basically like sniff each
Dog, the
other's,
bounty hunter. Yeah.
yeah, they literally like sniffing each other's buttholes and damn near fucking on the floor.
What were they saying? They were talking about what they had for lunch or something.
Yeah, like they could
Like,
smell what they
as
had
they're
for
sniffing
lunch.
their ass. Yeah.
Yeah,
I was
well,
like,
like, it was really funny
wow.
because like the girl walks into the room, it doesn't see anybody, so she sits down on the chair and just flips her legs up and starts licking her own butthole, and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, and Mother's Milk and
Starlight are just like
Starlight are sitting there
morose,
trying not to
trying to
gag.
puke. Yeah.
Yeah, they're sitting there going, and it got worse when they were talking about like what was it? She had Chipotle,
Yeah.
and she described it, and then she turned around and like, you had,
Yeah.
what did he have? Something that was equally gross,
Yeah.
and them both looking at each other like. Like the disgust on their faces, like, give you the Emmy just for the gross face.
Yep. So then so that happens.
Yeah.
Butcher and Huey escape after they
Oh, and that
kill
was a
the
brilliant
psychics.
escape, too.
Yeah,
Brilliant.
yeah,
We're
yeah.
not going to spoil that part for you. You
No,
guys have to watch that.
that was actually so well done and creepy. You need to watch it for yourself.
Yeah, well written. Like,
Yeah, oh yeah. This whole episode was great.
Garth had to have a hand in that.
Yeah.
I swear, I think that came out of his head. We'll
And then,
have to ask him if we see him if he's in Baltimore this year, and we'll have to ask him,
right.
like, hey, did you help write that scene? Because that was brilliant.
Right. So then, the last part of the episode is Frenchie. So Homelander shows up at the school that they're hiding in. Sage and the female go into the lead-lined like box basically, so that he can't see them when he uses his X-ray vision. And Frenchie and Homelander end up in the chamber that they're exposing the radiation to. And Frenchie tries to trap him in there, and Homelander like punches him through the chest so that then Frenchie like kind of like drags himself out into the front. Homelander leaves because he doesn't think there's anything left to do, and it ends with Frenchie dying in Kimiko's arms while she's like just bawling over him, and everybody's like running in the room like, oh no, and they all watch this happen. So that was
Not
like,
comic accurate.
man, that scene was so fucking good. I'm
Yeah, it was very
oh
heart-wrenching.
yeah.
That definitely. Oh, Homelander put Soldier Boy on ice again because he wouldn't
Oh
let him.
yeah. Yeah, we'll see
I
how
feel like that's going to be a thing where this last episode, there was a YouTuber that just randomly popped up on my feed, and he was like, "This is what I want to see for this last episode." And he's like, "This better happen. They better like tie all these loose ends." Like he was talking about the loose end of where's Ryan?
yeah.
Like, because we haven't seen him since Homelander beat the living piss out of him.
Yeah.
I feel like Ryan and Soldier Boy are going to gang up and help beat the crap out of Homelander, I think.
I concur. I think
I
that's
feel like Butcher's going to get into it too. Like, I want to see a good 15-minute fight with
well,
Homelander versus Butcher.
yeah. I mean, I what I want to see is I want to see a good fight between the two of them. I know that they're both gonna die because at least I would hope they would both, weirdly, I hope they both die because that's how we get the Dear Becky book in the books. So I kind of hope they both die, and I hope that I think Starlight's gonna die. I think everybody but Huey's gonna die because the whole story is told from Huey's perspective.
That's
From in the
true.
comics it was at least.
Yeah.
So he's kind of like the R2-D2
Scorpion.
or the C-3PO, where he is
He's
the
kind of
ultimate
like
Soviet
the
storyteller.
legend where he's chronicling this.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
I also
I,
want to see what happens with Ashley, even though
yeah.
she is the most unlikable character besides Homelander.
I agree.
I feel like something's going to happen with her, especially since she's president too. That's, yeah, we forgot about that. Homelander kills the president, which
Oh yeah. And I'm curious to see what happens with Sage too, but I hope she dies too.
I
I
don't think
really
she
want
will.
everyone, but I want everyone to die except Huey. I want Maeve to randomly show up because she
She's
didn't
still
die.
around.
She's just
No, she's
not
still around.
there
She's
doing she's just off doing
yeah.
the lesbian thing.
Yeah.
So
I could see something where you're going to see a lot of
fan service.
a lot of reaction, like all this stuff that Homelander's done to people, and you're going to see that come and bite him right in the ass. But then, we don't know what's going to happen with Vought. I think there's going to have something's happened to Vought where like it's going to be destroyed and it's going to take them forever to rebuild. But Stan Egger is still alive,
Yeah.
so maybe he'll die too.
Yeah.
I want to see where Ryan and maybe Soldier Boy kind of have a, well, what do we do now? Because
Yeah.
I'm not the fan of the Soldier Boy character, even though he's a little bit more likable than all the others, but I could see him trying to make good, and him and Ryan, him raise Ryan, like as a as the his only relative per se, and he is his grandson, and I feel for Ryan. He didn't want to be in this situation. I'd like to see a happy ending for him. Huey, I want to see him in Starlight State again. We have to have at least one couple that survives and isn't killed or destroyed or maimed in some way or another. Maybe Starlight loses her powers and she becomes a normal person.
No.
And I wouldn't mind that. I know she's done some shady stuff, but she's done a lot of good too. And it sucks that it would seeing her die would kind of be a bit of a sour ending. Because you say
Don't know.
wait, I'm all down for deaths of people who deserve it, and we've seen way too many people who didn't deserve it die.
Right.
I feel like we have to balance it out a little bit, and I know Garth is very, you don't get unscathed in any of his stories. Like all his stories, there is scarring, there is a lot of tainted, because no one has a happy ending. There is no such thing in a Garth Ennis story.
Yeah.
But I think there has to be some sort of resolution that's positive, ultimately positive. Doesn't have to be
Well,
perfect.
stay here. I'm gonna go grab the last omnibus and see how crazy the last part of the original run was, because I can't remember it 100%. So I'm just gonna flip through it real quick, that
I was
last
going to say,
issue. I'll be
if
right
I
back.
remember right, the last part of the omnibus is what? Butcher kills everybody because, well, again, spoilers, guys. If you haven't read the book, ultimately, Butcher kills the boys on his own because he's a psycho. Like, it ultimately, he's like, whatever you see on TV, Butcher's actually 10 times worse than the comic. And it's, I think he'll save Hewitt. I think in that last little bit of humanity, you will see him save Huey in some way or another. And I think that'll happen because you're seeing way too much him thinking Huey is his little brother. And I feel like Huey will survive, which he does in the comic as well. Him and Starlight survive everything. And then that's the way it's going to end. Well, that's the way it ended in the comics, at least.
All right, hold on. I'm almost to the last issue.
Yeah. Because I know what? He kills Mother's Milk. He kill Butcher kills Mother's Milk.
They have a fight and he
Kills.
beats the shit out of him and he kills him. Like Butcher does. Yeah. Huey's actually the one who kills Butcher.
Yeah, Huey takes care of Butcher, which I don't think that's going to happen. That's not the way this is set up on in the TV show. And people would be angry if that's the way we're people would lose their shit.
Oh,
It's
I think they've set it up pretty well
yeah, the
the way that they
it's going to
box
be
to
a
each other
Butcher
in the
versus
scene.
Homelander. Even if like Butcher there is some humanity in this in the TV version of Butcher compared to the comic book Butcher. There is no humanity in comic book for Butcher at all. And it's, that's
Oh yeah, I guess Starlight does survive. I forgot about that.
yeah, because him her and Huey end up being together.
Yeah.
So it's I would like to see that. I don't know if it will happen or not. But I would like that to stay intact a little bit. I gotta see a little bit of happiness going on here. I would like to see like what happens in the maybe getting like a time skip in the final episode a
Yeah.
little bit and see if the superheroes that are left actually do good and aren't jerks and psychopaths. Oh, and I need to see the deep die.
Oh
The
yeah.
deep die.
Yeah, it'd be better if I could die.
I want him to go like I want the most humiliating death for him. Like let's say like a goldfish jumps down his throat and refuses to leave his throat and he dies breathing or something. Like he
I also
gets
love the fact that the shark that was talking to him was voiced by Samuel Jackson.
Yes. Yeah.
Remember March 15th, motherfucker. That might have been the best part.
I almost thought he was going to do the Pulp Fiction quotes,
Yeah,
like
that would have been funny.
the it's
Yeah,
like,
that'd
you
have
ever
been
read the Bible deep?
right.
That would have been
God.
interesting.
Yeah, that'd have been funny. So, but yeah,
Yeah, but
I'm definitely excited to see how they finish it up and how they wrap it up. But I mean, with the way Starlight is in this show, I can see her somehow going like supernova and doing that to like push something else over the edge to kill Homelander, and that's how it's going to be. And it's just going to be Huey by himself at the end. Because the whole.
Unless Ryan survives too, and then Huey helps raise Ryan.
I would
Or
be okay with that.
that could be a thing too.
I agree.
Like,
I'd be
you know.
100% okay with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And maybe Soldier Boy is still cryogenically sealed still. Like that's the way they I can't believe they ended that, like his appearance in this season like that.
Yeah.
I something's gotta happen with that. That seems to be like stupid, like poor, you know, planning or writing or whatever. Like, I don't know why we only have 8 episodes. You could have made this 10 and drawn it out a little bit.
I just checked that the last episode's still only an hour. I was expecting it to at least be a 2 hour episode, but
Yeah, it's only an hour.
I also don't know why they wouldn't have just done the last two together, 'cause it, but I imagine the death of Frenchie was such a big, good stopping point to kind of be like, okay, here we go. But
It's the
I thought
final
they did it
push.
well, and man, did I love the character of how they did Frenchie the whole time. Like, he was
He was
so
very
good.
legitimately as close to the comic
Of all of them, I think he was the one
he
that
was
was
the
the closest
closest.
to the comic. Yeah. 'Cause like the female doesn't speak at all at the comics. Like, you don't even know
Although
the
I
voice.
have had fun this season with her talking and everybody just going,
Yeah, like,
she
what the
talks.
fuck? She
Like
talks, right?
the episode with Stan Edgar, and he's like, did she just talk? He wasn't
Yeah.
like shocked that she was swearing and calling him an asshole, right? He was more shocked she spoke.
Yeah, that she spoke at all. Yeah. So, but yeah, I really enjoy it. I'm really, really loving this season. I hope that the finale next week is just as awesome, and we will talk about it Thursday, probably around noon, next Thursday, because that'll be the next week's show, because we'll have cosplay karaoke that week. So
Is it
get
Thursday night?
ready for a, huh?
Cosplay karaoke on Thursday night or Wednesday night?
Thursday. It's a week from today. It's the 21st. Pretty
Because I
positive.
remember we used to do it on Wednesday nights,
Yeah,
but
but I'm pretty positive it's on Thursday. Let me double check that real quick before we.
yeah, let's do that before we tell everybody the wrong
I'm
day.
pretty positive it is though. Do cosplay karaoke fun and games. I'll just find the event. Thursday, May 21st, 6:30. Be there at 6:30, but it's gonna start at 7. So, yeah. So, it's gonna be awesome sauce. Wow, I can't believe I didn't put going until right now. 22 people are going. Hell yeah! Let's
Nice.
see who's going for sure. Oh, it's not gonna show me what. Only if I'm friends with them. Oh, Nikki Lee's coming. Greg Ochaba might be there. Harrison might be there. Man, Alex might be there. Man, this is going to be a good one. This will be a good one. Good one to come and hang out, guys.
I
And,
know
you know,
everybody is busy doing stuff, but
they're also going to have a thing for power cards. Like, if you buy your food while you're at the event, you get like a power card with your stuff. So, and like a special for the power cards too. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So come and check it out. We're excited to do it. So.
yes, come visit us, hang out, have a good time singing, play some games.
Yeah, we always have a blast. So, all right, guys, we'll see you next week. We'll see it in like 3 weeks at Three Rivers. Is gonna be crazy. So
We're hitting the home stretch here, and then we get a little bit of a break
Ooh.
afterwards.
Thank God. I don't want to talk. Like, I'm so proactively gotten stuff ready for next year already. that I can probably not talk about the con till the end of July and be fine. After the show, at least.
Yeah.
But I'm excited, really excited to get it done. Really excited to spend a weekend with my extended nerd family. So you guys, make sure you check it out. It's gonna be a good time, I promise. I promise it'll be a fun time. So, and you'll see us, remember to watch, to follow Three Rivers Comic Con this Sunday, probably around like 10:30. We'll probably start with the first, live stream. But we're gonna show you how to get to the convention center from all four major arteries, without having to go the hard way and what your GPS would tell you. We're gonna show you the shortcuts that'll make your life a lot easier.
Yeah, I don't necessarily trust Google. It can get a little messy. So.
Yeah. It's gonna be fun. But I promise you, it will be fun. I promise. I
Yeah,
promise.
we'll.
Okay. All right. Well, have a great night, guys, and we will see you next
See
week.
you next week.